to follow. It's supposedly a short book, but it's not nothing short about the book of James.
Mm-hmm.
It is a phenomenal piece of work. Chapter 1. Historically, and there are many different views about who wrote the book, but it really comes down that it would be James, the brother of Jesus, that wrote this book. And also, James was known to be one of the leaders of the Jerusalem church. The funny thing about James, at the first, the beginning, he didn't really believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
He was like kind of looking askance at his half-brother. Hallelujah. James and Joseph, these were two of the brothers of Jesus, because the scripture mentioned that the folks were asked. It's not this Jesus and his brothers, James and Joseph, you know, are they not here with us?
Amen.
And so even James and his brothers told Jesus, well, go ahead, you know, they're supposed to believe in you. So they kind of gave him a little hard time, but he came through. He was okay, James. We get to meet him. This book was initially written to, in verse 1, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting you. So when he first wrote this book, he wrote this book to 12 tribes of Israel that had been scattered. And you can find Old Testament references to the scattering of the Jews and the purpose for the scattering. And it wasn't a good reason for them doing that. But as you read into the rest of the book, if you're like me, you say, well, he might have addressed it to the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is talking to me.
Amen.
This is talking to me, and I'm going to take it as mine, because there's so much good information and good direction in this book that how could I not be glad to have this? We find in James chapter 1, 2 through 27, that's going to be the entire text. And I've sort of divided it up into number 1, wisdom, in verse 2 through 8, and then book of riches, and what a rich man, and how a rich man should handle himself in verse 9 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
And spoke about temptations. This is going to be a key part. This was a key part to me in this particular study. And then in that, from 12 to 15. And then spoke of every good gift in verse 16 through 18. And then he spoke to us about how we should carry ourselves in verse 19 through 25. And then he defined what true religion is in verse 26 through 27.
Amen.
So without further ado, let's pray and get into our message today. Father, thank you for James. Thank you ahead of time for inspiring your brother to put these words together for us today. Father, we don't want to take for granted anything that you give us or that you sent us today. And we know that we're here because you inspired us to be here, that you stirred us to be here, that you got us up, Lord, and got us moving this morning. You placed it in everyone's mind that where they will be this morning. And you put this message on my heart and brought it all together so that we would all be here this morning to receive the message from the book of James, chapter 1, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
He starts out almost like he hit a home run. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, now, hey, James, you want me to be happy about this?
Yeah.
When you fall into divers temptations and trials and tests, he says, this is how you should look at it. Count it all joy. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that is the proof of your faith, works patience. And the word patience means endures. The
Amen.
Trying of your faith, it builds strength in you. It builds endurance in you. So count it joy, because you're going to come out of this stronger. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. And that word perfect and entire means spiritually mature.
Amen.
It speaks of maturity, not perfect sinlessness. Come on now.
Yes.
It speaks of spiritual maturity. That means that you continue to grow and you continue to mature. And it says that patience is the thing that causes this kind of growth in you. And patience brings endurance so that you can endure. That you will want nothing, or you will lack nothing, that you will have everything that you need. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, no, he's still talking about temptations now.
Amen.
If any of you lack wisdom or is without wisdom, ask God. Let him ask God, who give liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Not Mike. He doesn't upbraid. He doesn't disdain you. He doesn't taunt you like some men will. You'll ask a question. They say, you don't know what that means. I can't believe you asking that. How old are you? God doesn't do that. You ask him, he says, here come. He says that you will receive the wisdom. What kind of wisdom are you going to ask about? Well, I ask about, Lord, what do I do about this? Which way do I go with this, Lord? How am I supposed to interpret what was just said? What is the best way that I should handle this situation? That's the wisdom you ask for. Because if you're asking something like that, you're being tried.
Amen.
There's something in front of you. You're being tempted to either do good or to not do good. And so if you lack wisdom in this situation, ask him. He does not upbraid. He doesn't think it's a dumb question. And the Bible says that he will give it to you. In other words, you will have your answer. Listen, when you ask God, you expect a response. You expect him to answer you in the manner in which you ask. You don't expect him to come and be playing card tricks with you and trying to do a look away at you and trying to trick you to see if you're watching and all of that. No, he's not wily. He doesn't use wiles and tricks. God is straightforward. And he said, if you ask me, I will give. And especially in this manner of wisdom regarding temptations, he said, ask me, and I'll give you the direction that you need. It is as simple as that. That's not complicated. It is as simple as that. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, you got to go in knowing, believing that God is going to answer. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a sea, like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Never settled. God, what's such a, I'm through waiting, Lord. I'm going to go do it this way. He said, let patience have a perfect work. Don't ask God and then go and do it your own way. And then you'd be over there again asking God, Lord, I'm in such a mess. Well, if you had waited, you wouldn't be in that mess. You'd be over here. Let patience have her perfect work so that she may be entire, wanting nothing. Sometimes you have to wait. And waiting is the thing that builds endurance in you. That means you can endure the trial. You can endure the test as you wait under the pressure of that test, knowing that God is going to answer. See? No question about it. This thing is hard. It's pushing on me. It's hurting me. But one thing I know, I'm asking in faith. I don't waver. I know that God is going to answer me. That's what he said. I know he's going to answer me. So I'll endure. And when you come out of that, do you know when you come out of a trial that you're stronger?
Yeah.
Y'all know it? When you come out of that thing, you know you're stronger. When you stand up again, you go, wow.
Amen.
Man, that don't hurt no more.
Yeah. A lot of weight on.
I can move. I can touch my toes. I can do different things that I couldn't do spiritually. You know what I mean? You're stronger when you come out.
Yeah.
You try to escape the trials, you're just going to stay right in the condition that you're in.
Amen.
But we really need, trials are good for us.
Yeah.
I don't like them, but they're good.
They do.
They help us. They make us strong. We don't want to be tossed like the sea.
Amen.
For the one that is like that, verse 7 says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's someone with two spirits, two minds. Well, the Bible says ask, so I'm going to ask, but I don't believe he's going to answer. But I'm going to ask because I say I should, so at least I've obeyed that part. So, Lord, give me direction. I'm going this way. That's a double mind. He said, don't think you're going to receive anything. You're not going to hurry God. Yes, there's work that needs to be accomplished in you now. There's growth that needs to be accomplished in you. Everybody grows at a different pace. Everyone has different situations they got to deal with, but everyone can grow.
Amen.
And there's growth that must take place in you. We all grow. if we walk according to His word.
Amen.
And if we are patient and wait on Him. Patience is one of the best lessons that a Christian can learn, how to wait on the Lord. He says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. A brother of low degree, like a poor person, a sickly person, nothing going for him in life. But he gets saved, and all of a sudden he is rich beyond belief, rich out of this world. And oh, he's rejoicing, and you think that the man had just won the lottery for $2 million. He's walking around in like a, what do you call it, a banner turkey or whatever. And he's strutting around, and good morning, how's everybody doing? Wonderful day, isn't it? Top of the morning to you, my friend. And he's just wonderfully just blessed and up, and it's like, what did you get? What happened to you? He said, man, I just inherited a lot of riches. Really? Did you win the lottery? No, not really. What, did a rich uncle die? No, not that I know of. Well, how about, did you? No, nobody left. Well, what happened? Man, I got saved. I got saved. Saved? It does all that to you? Oh, you're looking at it. You're looking at it. Let the low has been, let him rejoice because he has been exalted. That's when I first got saved. I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
Everywhere I was going, I say, I got saved. Jesus loves you. Oh man, God is good. It's one of those things when it happens, you gotta tell somebody. And you're making everybody mad because they don't want to hear. And you don't even realize it until a year or two later when you go, wait a minute. When I come in the room, everybody disperse. Because they know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
Where everybody going? They go, oh, much time. And they're gone. And you're standing in the middle of the room because you're going to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
You're going to tell them about your Lord.
Amen.
But what else is there? What else is there but Him? Yes, let that brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. But the rich, that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. In other words, the riches are not going to last. These things will not yield to him what is necessary to make him feel rich, because they pass away. The riches are okay in this world, but they have no influence in the world that's to come.
Amen.
And so he'll have to see himself, and a rich man has to humble himself. He has to humble himself in order to receive from this and in order to benefit from this salvation experience. A rich man can't stay proud in his riches and walk in the spirit like he needs to. He has to humble himself. So the man of low degree is raised up. But the rich man must be humble. He must humble himself. And that means that pride has got to be dealt with in a rich man.
Amen.
And so that rich man, it'll change you. It's going to either lift you up or it's going to humble you, but it's all good. It's just because the riches will pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. That means he shall be extinguished in his ways. Now, generally, you don't become rich without having to do some stuff. The ones that have the money, the rich ones, they're some of the nastiest people you want to ever meet in the world. They will not, they won't, they'll squeeze a penny to the image on the penny.
They didn't get it
right. They didn't get it right. They had the lies, seat, a cheap steal.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take from you, your mama, their mama, mm-hmm. whoever they have to.
Yeah.
They don't care. And won't give. You give more than the rich do.
Yeah.
Proportionally speaking,
yeah.
They'll little squeak off a little here and squeak off a little there, but they hold on. See? You're going to lose this. You're going to lose this. You can't take it with you. So you should use it for the proper purpose on this earth and bless others. Help the man of low degree.
Amen.
It goes on to say this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Yeah.
Endure temptation. We were talking earlier about enduring temptation. That another word is to walk in, to live and walk in patience in the midst of your temptation. Mm-hmm. God said, I'll never leave you. Don't worry. Just endure. Continue. Grow under the stress. Grow under the strain. He said, and that when you try, when you examine, you will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crown of life. You'll be exalted in life. You will reign in life. A crown. It's a symbol of authority. You receive a crown of life, which he's promised to those that love him.
Amen.
He says, don't let a man, let no man, when he is tempted, let him not say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. He cannot be tempted of evil, neither does he tempt any man. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, in that in the temptation, he will also make a way to escape that you will be able to bear.
Yes.
So even in the midst of the temptation, listen, God didn't, he doesn't allow temptations to crush you. He brings temptations to build you up.
Amen.
Satan brings temptations to destroy you.
Yes.
But Satan can put anything on you than what God allows him to put on you.
Amen.
So it's still up to God what temptations fall in your way. But he says, look, when the temptation comes, he says, I've already made a way to escape. Come on now.
Yes.
The way to escape is already there.
Yes.
It's already there.
Yes.
If you open your eyes and just look around. And walk in patience and endurance.
Yes.
And wait on God to open your eyes to show you the way to escape from this. He's also made a way to escape. Why? So that you may be able to bear it. So that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
He wants you to bear it. He wants you to be able to bear it. He's not setting you up to fail. He's setting you up to succeed.
Yes.
He allows the temptations in your life so that you can get stronger in him.
Amen.
You can mature in him. That's Amen. What it's about.
Amen.
My God, what a wonderful, wonderful Lord we serve.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:11 brought a tear to my eye when I read this. And I've read it years and years ago, but it just kind of hit me here. It says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, or I will hear.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart.
Oh.
I'm there to be found.
Amen.
Search for me with all of your heart. Don't look out there. Don't look out here. Don't look over there. Don't call mama unless she's going to give you some spiritual advice.
Amen.
But mama, sometimes, you know, mama, not your mama, my mama, I'll use my mama. She'll give me some real good logical advice.
Amen.
Only problem is it's bad advice.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense stuff.
Amen.
And it's common sense. It does make sense. But it's not spiritual advice. If mama's not in the word, mom cannot give me the kind of advice I need.
Amen.
Okay. Daddy can't either. But they can give you some real good logical advice, and you might need some logical advice. But if you're in this situation, you need spiritual advice.
Amen.
You need to hear from heaven. You need to hear from God. You have to make the distinction. I've made the distinction. I do understand that there's a difference between my physical family and my spiritual family.
Amen.
If I want a word, I'm going to you.
Yes.
I'm not going to go to my cousin in Sanford.
Amen.
They're going to tell me to hit this, and it'll be all right. Amen. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I know your word, man. I know what you need. I know what you need. Come back in the room with me.
hit this. That's the wrong one to go to.
That's right.
That man there is going to say, well, brother, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, right? He's going straight to the word, which is exactly what I need. And you got to make the distinction now. You keep going to the cousins and everything. They can't help you. They can't give you the kind of help that you need.
Amen.
All right, now. So you have been warned.
Yeah.
Watch it. As much as you love them, and I know you do. But we have to make the proper distinction. I know for spiritual advice, I know where to come. I can ask Father for spiritual advice. He'll dig down and find it.
Amen.
He'll find it.
Yes,
and if he starts with something else, I say, that's not what I want, brother.
Amen.
I need this. And Bill, Bill, he struggles with saying it exactly like it is, but it's in his heart.
Yes,
so when he says it right.
Yes, right.
Y'all coming now. We come up close.
Amen.
When he says it right.
Yeah.
He doesn't misquote it.
Yeah.
In other words, he doesn't misspeak. It's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This gives a picture of a wild game that is being enticed by bait. Wild game, enticed by bait. He's drawn away of his own lust, and he's enticed. It's a picture of a wild game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the game probably knows that something is not right about that, that chicken there, because it's not moving. But it smells like food. And you ever notice they're stopping them, they're looking, they'll examine it.
Yeah.
But that inner drive is too strong for them to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
They're going right into that trap. They're going to grab it, bam, got it.
Yeah.
And that's what this gives the picture of.
Amen.
Of wild game.
Amen.
Being enticed by day. Right?
Yeah.
And so it says to be careful with this.
Mm-hmm.
To watch these kinds of things. You're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. And enticed, it talks of, it's like a fish that is caught by bait. Enticed is a fishing term.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fish that's enticed by bait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that worm in the hook,
mm-hmm.
where it looks like a worm. And you can't tell me that fish, he can't see something right about this worm. It's going up, and it'll swim around and look. But it looks like food. Smells like food. Looks kind of strange, but it's food. It's that thing inside him that drives him to it, and he takes the bait anyway.
Amen.
It says that's how we're enticed. But we're not enticed externally. We're enticed internally.
Amen.
That means there's something inside of us.
Come on now.
That's reaching for this particular thing. When it starts stirring up in us,
right.
We're like, okay, here we go. Ooh, oh man, I should. Ooh, you know, we're back and forth like, whoa. Ah,
go ahead.
And something inside of you is going, do it, get it, take it. Mm-hmm. Like a fish with that bait, man. That thing is so attractive. You're looking at it, your mouth is watering. don't say God is doing this.
Yeah.
Don't put it on God. Folks say, if God has stopped me, stop doing that. They're there and ain't said one word to God yet about it. Because in that temptation, they're supposed to be patient and say, Lord, what am I looking at?
Mm-hmm.
I know something ain't right here. It looks right, but something not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know something ain't right. You know something not right. But rather than talking to him, we go, okay, I'm going to figure out a way to, I won't back into it and pretend like it's not going on. You know, these games we're playing, and you're doing it, trying to trick who? Yourself. You're looking at yourself. I said this before, I heard a man say it's not right to lie, but when you lie to yourself, that's a stupid lie. Don't do that. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Listen, it's attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
You give it that. That's something that I like.
Mm-hmm.
You give it that. Be honest about it. Don't go, well, I really don't want it. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Now you tell the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yeah, that's right.
And you go, okay, Lord, I like that. I see it. I want it. But please help me. Tell me something. You go, something's not right here, Lord. Something's not right here, Lord. It says, you're drawn away of your own lust and entice. So we can't blame it on God. We can't. Folks say I'm mad at God because my mama died. He took my mom. They ain't said nothing to God for 5 years. 10 years. They ain't said one word to God. Their mama died and all of a sudden they're mad at God. Go somewhere. You don't want anything to do with God and you know it, but you want to blame it on somebody. And so now you're mad at God. Ain't said nothing to him in 5, 10 years. They go to funerals. That's the only time they go to a church. Bad. Mm. It's amazing how people will try to blame things on God.
Amen.
When it's not God, it's you. It's me. That's what it is. That's it. Our own lust and entice. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth or it gives birth. Look, these are birth terms. Conceived, that means lust, that's an impregnation. When it's gotten deep enough in you and impregnates, when lust has conceived, through the complete term, it brings forth. That is, it gives birth to sin.
Yeah.
And when sin, and when it is finished, it brings forth death, destruction. It does. It brings forth death. Listen, while sin does not result in spiritual death to the believer, it can lead to physical death.
Yeah.
Many believers have died because of sin. And especially believers that walk in disobedience.
Amen.
And there are many scriptures that can support this particular thing that I'm saying here.
Amen.
That you might be saved, but if you get caught up into the sin and enticed into the sin, you don't necessarily have to die, but you're in a very dangerous place. A very, very dangerous, dangerous place. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says that for this cause, many are weak among you and many sleep. Talking about not properly discerning the Lord's body. Not properly discerning the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians 11:30. And 1 John 5:16 says this. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. There is a sin unto death. And I know some preachers that have went back and they're no longer on the earth today.
Amen.
I believe they went to be with heaven, but the Lord is not going to let you sit around here if you're at that level and discredit his name.
Amen.
And there are other scriptures that talk about trampling the blood of Christ underfoot.
Yes.
And this kind of thing that's done. You're the example in the community, and now you're trampling the blood of Christ underfoot. That's a sin unto death, my friend.
Yes.
I know men and women that have died because of this kind of thing. They decided to go back and live the same life. Now, there is a sin that says that's not unto death, but there's a sin I can commit that.
Mm-hmm.
That one would apply to me.
Yes.
I go back, I better straighten up quick. He's not gonna let this happen. Not for long. Not for long. And I say, well, I won't be here long. I'll say, Brother Radbury went back. He said, uh-oh. He's in a lot of trouble. If that happens, I'm in a lot of trouble. I got trouble anyway, but that's the kind of trouble I don't think you can pray for. You know? It's a mess. It's terrible. So that is, it brings forth death. And if it's not death, the physical death, it'll bring forth a kind of a separation from between you and that closer relationship you have with the Lord.
Amen.
It's kind of hard to talk to him and you got sin in your life.
Right.
It's kind of hard to ask and you got sin standing in the way.
Right.
That's why it says, confess your sin and God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
When that happens, now we can talk. Now we can commune again.
Yes.
But that needs to be dealt with.
Yes.
It really does.
Amen.
Amen. No sense pretending. Listen, we're on this today for a good, good reason.
Amen.
It says, don't err, my beloved. Don't be deceived. Don't be seduced when it says err. Don't be seduced. Don't do it. Listen, you got an enemy, and I say this all the time, you got an enemy that's so much closer to you than the devil. So much closer to you than the devil. Now, we talk about the devil, and he is to be blamed for starting this mess up. But now, a part of us who was born into this thing is participatory in the devil's system.
Right.
And only the salvation of Jesus Christ can break that bond.
Yeah.
But that enemy is still hanging around and lurking, and he's trying to entice you and throwing little red things in front of you and throwing little yellow things in front of you to see what you do. And you kick it out of the way and throw a little blue thing in front of you and you kick it out of the way. And then you throw a little green thing and you say, uh-oh. Throw another little green thing down there. And you follow the green thing.
Yes,
and he gets about four of them, and he throws four of them down there. That's the old man. Yeah, that's your old man.
Yes, sir.
And next thing you know, you're picking one up. Entice. Are y'all with me here?
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord. But the good news in 17 is that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's it. If anything moved, it's you or me, not him. There's no variableness. He's not fickle. He's the same. There's no shadow of turning in him. You say, God, what happened? Why did you let, where did you go? He didn't go anywhere. You went somewhere. You moved. You followed the green ball or whatever that was. I don't know why green. Money, okay. It says of him, as of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of a first fruit of his creatures. It was by his will that he begot us, not our will. You didn't go looking for God. I went looking, but it wasn't for God. I said it was for God, but it wasn't. It was for me. It was magic. I was trying to work some magic to make some hocus pocus stuff happen. I want to see some power come from me. I want it to be like Houdini and the strength and the power to do it. I want to move things and call spirits to do things in the world and speak and demand spirits and everything, not knowing that they were inching, getting ready to get in and have a nice little home. Get in there and stretch and stretch out and lay around and mess the house, mess it up, and you know, just junk everywhere, nasty, stinking, and flies. Only God could clean that mess up, man. Yeah, one Holy Ghost experience and clean it all up. But that was before I knew God. I was doing that. All right, now I'm just telling, just being truthful about this. But God saw me, and it was by his will that he begot me. He stopped it, and he brought me in. Wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger, or to express violent passion. That means don't be so quick to get mad.
Yeah.
And don't be so quick to have an answer.
Right.
Be quiet. Listen. Be quick to hear. I mean, hurry up and start listening. Quickly.
Amen.
Listen. Shut your mouth. Listen. You can learn so much by listening. A person will tell you all about their lives if you stop and just listen. Quickly listen. And then sometimes you may need to speak, but be slow to speak. And don't be so quick to get mad.
Yeah.
Somebody say something, it upsets you. Okay, but hold up. That don't mean you gotta vent it.
Yeah.
Just keep listening. Keep listening. That's what this is our instruction. Be quick to hear. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. For the anger or the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see God if your anger is coming out. They're not going to see him. You just lost your influence.
Come on now.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughty of naughtiness. Superfluity, superabundance of naughtiness, and receive the meek with meekness, the engrafted or the imparted word, which is able to save your soul. Receive it. It will not only save, it also protects your soul. It also heals you.
Yes.
Receive it. It's engrafted. It's not, you don't grow it. It's implanted in you.
Mm-hmm.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. To make a spiritual miscalculation. It's a mathematical term.
Yes.
You make a, it's like with math, it talks about, the term is used in mathematics to talk about a miscalculation.
Mm-hmm.
When you do the numbers, you just miscalculate it. But this is talking about using the term a spiritual miscalculation, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, looking in a mirror. And you're looking in a glass. And so the word of God, it will show you what you can be. He will show you. The word, it reflects. And as you hear the word of God is reflecting in your mind and in your heart what you can be. And you'll see it. You'll be looking right at it. It says, for he beholds himself, and then he goes his way straightway and forgets what manner of man he was. Or what he saw. So unless you act quickly on what you've seen, you'll forget the reflection that he showed you. It's time to act. When he shows it to you, and especially in services like this, God will show you something, it'll flash in you, and you'll see it. You go, good God, you better write that down, because if you're not careful, you're going to go out there and forget what you just saw. It's important that you remember what you see and act quickly. Began to bring it to walk in that area. He showed it to you because it's time for you to walk in that area. So begin to walk. Otherwise, you're going to go away and forget what manner of man you were. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, see that? And continue in what you see. Continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. He shall be blessed in all of his actions. If you walk in the word, in other words, and you continually walk in the word, the things that you do will be blessed. What you place your hand to do will be met with blessing, success, that continue in the word. What else can happen? If you're walking in wisdom, in the wisdom of the word, his deeds will be blessed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, that controls, does not control his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain or empty. Say anything you want to say, any kind of way you want to. No consideration for what you say, what it might do to someone, how you might destroy a person's life, how you might destroy a little child, how you might destroy a very fragile man or woman. You just blur it out. And you call yourself a Christian and going to church and going to outshout everybody, going to outdance.
Amen.
I've seen some beautiful dances in the churches, man.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes I start praising and just watch the dance. It's like, go, girl, go. You know, and outdance everybody and got the worst tongue in town.
Yeah.
We'll say anything. He said, look, that stuff that you see in there ain't nothing to that, no. It's vain. It's empty. And he places it on the tongue. You know why? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I see what you do, but I see what you say also.
That's right. Amen.
I see what you say. So it's really putting a very high premium on the tongue.
Amen.
Because look, what you say comes from within. So actually it's attached to your heart.
Right.
So if you got a nasty mouth and you got a mean-spirited mouth, your heart, you need to deal with your heart.
Right.
You need to go to the Lord. I lack wisdom in this area, Lord.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you might not even discern that something's wrong with your heart.
Yeah.
But when you hear the stuff coming out your mouth, you don't need to discern nothing.
That's right.
If that mouth is messed up, nasty, and you're just cutting everybody down and talking down on everybody, you should know that something is wrong inside of you.
Yeah.
If every time you open your mouth, every other word is a curse word.
Oh,
I was in the jail this past week, and a guy raised his hand to be a Christian, and every other word was an F word and a D word and a GD and an LL and this and that, you know? And he was talking, and I the Lord said, tell him. I had to say, brother, you know the Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he stopped. And he was kind of trying to figure out what I was talking about. And then what he spoke of, he was defending the stuff that he was saying. So I just smiled. I just looked down and smiled. But there was another brother sitting off to the side who was looking at me smiling too. I said, he got it. That one got it. But this guy had no idea what was going on. I say, well, one day, he's going to think back and say, wait a minute. That's what that preacher said that in the jail 10 years ago. Well, Bill, I hope that you're wrong. I hope he gets his life saved. But the way he's going, he's looking at another stint if he get out. So hopefully he listened and heard something. But listen, if you bridle not your tongue, your religion is vain, it's empty. Then it says, pure religion. That is pure Christianity in our case. Undefiled, that means clean, before God and the Father, is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That is, those who are without parents. And widows, those who are without husbands. And keep himself unspotted or clean or unblemished from the world. Unblemished from worldliness. Don't walk in worldliness. That's true religion. You want to say, I belong to Jesus? Then the world should not be controlling your life.
Amen.
We live in the world, but you don't have to be worldly. It should show up. You say, well, my goodness, I'm in a mess. If anyone lacks wisdom, you can go right back, let them ask of God. You say, well, man, I'm ate up with this world stuff. It's all the way from my toes all the way to the top of my head. I am overflowing with this worldliness. Ask God. He can still fix that. He can tell you just how to get out of this thing. And it's not impossible, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you for this word today. I thank you for James chapter 1 and the challenge that James lays down for us. Now, Lord, we've heard your word. We ask that you help us to go back through James and then allow you to apply this truth to our lives, one truth at a time. You give us wisdom, Lord, on how to go about doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Glory to God.